T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome into this Friday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Happy Good Friday to all those out there. Tim Zimmer at Master Control, rocking the Pelicans polo. I'm Christian Garrick, here with you till 6:30 tonight. We'll hand things off to LSU baseball. Game 2 against Florida. Yeah, Seth Dunlap was right on the money in his description during the Sports Flash. It was a thrashing last night at the box. Florida got the better of LSU, 16-9 the final. 13-0 at one point for LSU really kind of got it going offensively a little bit. But nonetheless, game two tonight at 7 p.m. right here on WWL. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, stops by at 420. Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Saints. Want to get his perspective on the Saints' schedule. Jeff Palermo, sports director at Louisiana Radio Network, also part of our LSU Sports Radio Network crew, will join us at 5:20. Then we'll hand things off to LSU and Florida in Game 2. Which road game on the Saints' 2019 regular season schedule are you most excited about? Is it that rematch with Los Angeles in L.A.? Is it Seattle? Bit of a history there. When I look at road games as to which team would fans travel for, I typically look at, is there a rivalry or some sort of tradition, anything like that? Certainly have that rivalry now with the Rams. Going back to, heck, that was the Saints' first playoff victory was against the Rams. And, of course, the NOLA no call. So, again, that would be one I think the fan base would certainly travel for. The Houdat Nation is everywhere. And it's easy to get a ticket in Los Angeles. They got better things to do. I would encourage Saints fans to try and make that a home field advantage, even though they're on the road in L.A. week two. Seattle's a great environment. The Saints have some history there with the Seahawks, going back to Beast Quake, two playoff losses in Seattle. The Seahawks in week three. What about Chicago? There's history there, right? Saints have played the Bears a few times in the playoffs. 2006 NFC Championship game loss in Chicago. Atlanta on Thanksgiving Day in Atlanta. Obviously, Saints fans travel to Atlanta very well. Have for years, for decades. But spending Thanksgiving Day in Atlanta, potentially roasting some Falcon, makes it just a little more attractive to the Houdat Nation. Jacksonville, Tennessee, not too much tradition between those two squads on the Saints' road schedule. And, of course, you got the division rivals, Tampa Bay and Carolina. Which road game are you most excited about? Would you travel to? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Will Wade won't have to testify next week, according to prosecutors. Good thing for Will Wade, and it's looking more and more promising that he's going to stick around for a little while. However, the NCAA is going to continue to do their thing. Whatever that is, it doesn't matter if he did or did not have to testify on a federal court, in federal court, on bribery charges against Christian Dawkins. But the NCAA still, if they find some wrongdoing, that doesn't mean he's necessarily out of the woods yet. But it's looking positive, obviously, with the reinstatement of Will Wade as their basketball coach. Panicked about LSU baseball? That's our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Your choice is nope, not yet. Getting there, or hell yeah, I'm freaking out. Judging by my Twitter timeline, a lot of people freaking out. When we come back, I'll tell you why. You don't have to subscribe to the notion of LSU has to get it going and get it going right now. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, LSU baseball losing last night, 16-9. Oh my gosh, to Florida. A team that, I warned you, was fourth in the conference heading into this game. It wasn't the typical Florida baseball team that we're used to seeing with dominant arms, Alex Fiedo and Brady Singer, but they were fourth in the conference in team batting average at 289. Now, that doesn't explain the amount of runs that LSU gave up. They were tops in the conference as well, or near the top of the conference at home runs. We saw them hit four last night off LSU pitching. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, stepping into the radio huddle right now, and Bobby's taking in a little crawfish on this Good Friday. Bobby, how are you, man?
Yeah, good. Yeah, visiting my granddaughter, Alice, and T-Bob, hanging out in VR. Looks like they had a little squall, but it passed, and now the sun's shining. So, you know, it's all about the Easter holiday and look Good Friday. And a lot of Christians, a lot of Catholics in the New Orleans area. So this is a great weekend that the families get together and acknowledge what Jesus means to them. So it's a great atmosphere to be with family.
Bobby, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Are you panicked about LSU baseball? Choices are nope, not yet. Getting there, or hell yeah, I'm freaking out. Where do you stand? Are you panicked about LSU baseball?
No, I'm on the edge of the cliff, but I'm not jumping yet. Or I'm kind of on the verge. But I would think right now it's going to be important to get some kind of momentum going back in their favor, where if they can win somehow two out of three, and then you're going at Alabama. Now, it's hard to sweep anyone, but you'd expect maybe a sweep on the road against Alabama. But not a lot of momentum as of late in dealing with the Indians. You look at LSU's, but when they lost to Louisiana Lafayette in the Wally Pontiff Classic, their third midweek loss in the past five. So it's been a lot more, you know, you can have up and down moments during the season, a lot more downs as of late. And, Christian, I don't know, I'm kind of, my mind's boggled a little bit about this. I should say it's mind-boggling, but is Hess really hurt? Then you look at Reed, Watson. I mean, and then I was just reading where, like, Reed and Watson, were they in the lineup? And then you look at Hess. Now, he was, could pitch out the bullpen this weekend. I mean, what was the status? So was it anything serious? I mean, what group you got on their injuries?
Well, I saw him last night, Chris Reed and Zach Watson, both ineffective dealing with their injuries. And, yeah, apparently Zach Hess is available to LSU out of the bullpen, but he can't go any more than 2 to 3 innings because of endurance, et cetera. So that's where it stands. And I think that they tried to push it a little bit because it is the SEC with Chris Reed and Zach Watson. And you saw Florida exploit Chris Reed and his hamstring last night, laying down several bunts, testing the hamstring of Chris Reed. And he wasn't up to the task because he's not completely healthy. Same thing with Zach Watson. I think that both of those guys are probably going to end up resting tonight. And look, you know what's funny is I was sitting here, Bobby, and I was sharing this with Diane before we came on the air. I was doing some research, and I was more like you. I was kind of like, all right, I'm teetering on the edge here. And I started looking up some numbers, and I found this one that kind of brought me back and said, okay, yeah, LSU has to start heating up, but does it necessarily have to be right this moment? And the answer I arrived at is no, because I went back to 2017, the LSU Tigers that year. We think pretty highly of that one, right, Bobby? The team that made it to the College World Series Finals. We would agree right there, right? Well, they didn't win more than five games that year in a row until May 11th, when they ripped off 17 straight. And that winning streak didn't end until June 19th in the College World Series to then number one Oregon State. So,
but now, Christian, now that you tell me that, though, you know how I always say, what have you done for me lately?
Sure, sure.
Towards the latter part of the season last year, that was not the case. When you kind of expect them to turn around, they don't really turn that corner.
So last year's team wasn't nearly as talented as this team. Not nearly.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, you kind of look at it, you take things for granted. That, oh, don't worry, LSU's going to bounce back. And to me, they got to get it done. Listen, I think we have a lot of confidence, that being the LSU fan base, in Cole Henry, whenever he pitches. I think it'll be interesting to see. He's going against Jack Leftwich, who has an ERA of 4.50. So I think a very winnable game, but you can't afford to be in shootouts. If you get an outstanding pitching performance from Cole Henry, and you know, then you should be able to score. I mean, to me, 5-6 runs or more to be able to win. Then you got Eric Walker to close it out. So, Chris did this. I know Paul Maneri is hoping that they come through, and the hitting just got to get it done and not be inconsistent, especially if the pitching's there with Cole Henry and Eric Walker.
Make no mistake, Bobby and those that are listening, I'm not saying LSU is not without flaws. They certainly are. I acknowledge that. They are an up-and-down hitting team. Saul Garza is the epitome of their lineup. he'll hit a home run and then strike out in two other plate appearances. I mean, that's just kind of how they've been. They've been a bit of a feast or famine. Bobby, what do you think of LSU's new athletic director, Scott Woodward?
Well, oh, T-Bob just walked in. He said, hey, K-Dog.
What's up, T-Bob?
Okay, calm down, T-Bob. Just calm down, T-Bob. No, okay, you're not allowed to interact. Go away. No, the new AD, I mean, homegrown. I mean, Catholic High, you know, almost born, if he had the ability and that effort as far as, you know, just the moxie and the drive to want to do what he's doing at the highest level, he probably thinks he hit the lottery like Coach O. You know, there's no better job than him running the programs at LSU. So I think he will have success. He will burn that midnight oil and get it done. And I think what he really has going for him is that he's a go-getter, a people's person, and it's all about communicating and making everyone that, no matter who you deal with, you make them feel important and that they're a big part of LSU's success. And I think that's what he's going to bring to the table.
Bobby, another bite at the Saints schedule, looking at the road opponents. Which road game are you most excited about? Is it that week 2 matchup with the Rams?
Well, it has to be for the Hoodoo Nation. That's like we almost have to be road warriors. You know, we have to, like, board ships, and we got to go out and conquer L.A. after that debacle, that game that kept us from going to the Super Bowl, obviously, against the Rams. And really, you know, L.A. still don't have a fan base where they truly have a home feel. Like, when the Cowgirls come to town in Los Angeles, or it could be the Steelers, it's like a home game for those teams. So, listen, I would challenge the Hoodoo Nation. We need to make it where the L.A. Coliseum is like a home game for the Saints.
That can be done easily. You can get tickets.
Yeah. And the stadium holds 90,000 people. I mean, if you want to go to a road game, you get – and the weather, you know, usually it's unbelievable. You go to L.A. Coliseum, and it'd be like we get enough Saints Hoodoo Nation members in there, it could be like – a home game, and the Rams won't know what hit them. I would not advise the fans to go back to Chicago. You know, we play at the Bears. I just don't trust their fans, you know, dealing with them. But I'd have to say, the Rams first, then maybe Seattle, considering, you know, just the atmosphere, to be in that type of atmosphere. And the Saints obviously have not had success at Seattle, but honestly, yeah, road Warriors road game definitely right at the beginning of the season. Head to the LA Coliseum and make it a home game for the Saints instead of you know, when the Rams doesn't have a chance.
Bobby, we'll let you run, man. Tell T-Bob to go play some board games or something, man.
Yeah, well, obviously he was doing that right before I got here, so I'm not going to encourage him anymore, Christian.
Doesn't surprise me. Thanks, Bobby.
All right. Okay, bye.
All right. Cousin Vinny, what's going on, Cousin Vinny? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian, first-time caller.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you were talking about going away games. When the schedule came out the other day, the next day, my son, who just recently moved up to Nashville, he booked a suite, so we got 22 of us going up in a suite.
Nice.
Representing the Hoodoo Nation, and we'll be all over that town.
In Nashville, you said?
Yes, against the Titans.
Yeah, that'll be. Bring your cold weather gear. It's going to be chilly.
Well, that's like I said, we got a suite.
I know, but still, navigating around Nashville, it's still going to be kind of cold. Hey, are you. Are you panicked about LSU baseball, or still kind of?
I've been listening to you guys for a while. Every day I listen to you guys, and you keep saying, don't panic. But last night, I started to panic.
It's understandable. I think right now, if you're kind of on the edge, you should be. That's a place you could be. I mean, it's conceivable. It's all right to be there because, again, we are mid-April. All right, this is about the time where LSU typically kind of gets it going a little bit. Cousin Vinny, thanks for the phone call. You can weigh in at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. A Blue Rona Gumbo opinion poll. Panicked about LSU baseball? Nope, not yet. Getting there? Or hell yeah, I'm freaking out. Right now online, 50% are saying nope, not yet. Another 50% are saying hell yeah, I am freaking out over here. You tell me at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. I'll explain to you more as to why I'm not really there yet. I'm kind of getting there, but not freaking out yet. This is Sports Talk after our CBS and local news headlines. Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Saints here on WWL. Texter here at 87870. Been panicking over LSU baseball for 2 weeks. Oh, boy. Not there yet. Continuing to dissect the Saints' regular season schedule. Talked about the road games that you're most excited about. I think right now it's obviously that week 2 matchup on the road against the Los Angeles Rams. Seattle mixed in there, though. Again, I like the road games because of the history that the Saints have with teams like the Rams, Seahawks, Bears, obviously the Falcons. So I think it makes up for a pretty attractive road schedule should the Houdat Nation want to travel a little bit and get out of New Orleans and go support the black and gold away from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Saints, at Mike Triplett on Twitter. Mike, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, Christian?
Good. Happy Good Friday and happy Easter.
Yeah, same to you, man.
So looking at this schedule, I want to know a couple of your takeaways. Where do you view the rough stretch? Is it the first four or that third quarter of the season where it's all divisional opponents?
No question. Not the first four, just weeks 2 and 3. I mean, week 1 is at home on a Monday night. That's not a rough stretch. And week 4 is at home on a Sunday night. That's not a rough stretch. But going to the Rams and Seattle in back-to-back weeks is obviously pretty grueling, especially when you add in that they start with a Monday night game. So they're going to L.A. on a short week. A lot of times they like to leave on Friday for those West Coast trips. They're going to be finishing a game up on Monday night, sleeping in on Tuesday, and having a game, you know, across the country in week 2. So at L.A. and at Seattle are going to be tough asks for this team, and I assume they will probably train in on the West Coast for a whole week in between. I have not been able to find out if they asked to have those two games placed back-to-back or if it's something they dislike. Sometimes teams want, you know, their cross-country travel back-to-back so they can stay there for the whole week. But if they can survive those first couple games and be 2-1 or better, then I think the rest of the schedule sets up pretty nicely.
Mike, that Thanksgiving Day matchup against the Atlanta Falcons, that seems to be – it might be a budding tradition now. It's 2 years in a row, once last year in New Orleans really and in Atlanta.
That's really interesting. Now, I mean, there hasn't been any talk of trying to decide that that's always going to be the third Thanksgiving game like the Dallas and Detroit games. But to do it twice in a row, there's obviously something they like about it from a rating standpoint, from a rivalry standpoint, from a – those two teams are good for TV standpoint. And it's going to be a tough game too. I mean, here we are seeing the Saints go on the road on a Thursday night again. And that is tough to play on the road on a short week. And they've had to do that a lot over the years at Atlanta or at Carolina. That's going to be pretty important. Atlanta really fell off the map last year, but that was largely due to injuries to Debo and to Devontae Freeman and to Keanu Neal. I've seen some places that have the Saints with the most talented roster in the NFL and the Falcons with the second most talented roster in the NFL. They're not just going to go away lightly this year.
ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Saints, Mike Triplett, at Mike Triplett on Twitter. Mike, every schedule, is in particular for the Saints, they always have that stub your toe kind of moment. Last year it was that week 1 matchup against Tampa Bay Buccaneers that kind of everybody thought that should be an easy victory.
Usually it's against Tampa Bay no matter when.
Right. Are you going again? Their stub your toe moment might be against the Buccaneers, or where is it?
Well, it's funny because we had to predict for ESPN, we all had to predict the results of every game, and I used to get cute when I would make predictions, and I'd pick some stub your toe games, and I'd pick some upsets because that's how it always really happens. You always win one you're not supposed to, and you lose one you're not supposed to. But the flack you get from people, I've started going more and more chalk in recent years, like just pick them to lose the ones that they're expected to lose and pick them to win all the ones they're expected to win. But I wanted to come away with 11-5. Like 11-5 is my honest prediction. But every time I went through the schedule, I had them at 12-4, and I'm like, all right, I have to pick a stub-your-toe game. So sure enough, I picked losing at home to Tampa Bay. It was like the right time in the season, I think. It broke up what otherwise would have been like a 4 or 5 game win streak. So I picked Tampa Bay for the stub your toe game. But the other thing I look at, another one I considered, was a lot of times when you play on Monday night and then you've got a short week and then you travel, late in the season, depending on what's going on late in the season, I'll tell you a good candidate for that is they're hosting the Colts on Monday Night Football, which could be a big game, especially if both teams are playoff teams. And then on a short week, they travel to Tennessee, a team they haven't played in 4 years, they don't know much about, a place they haven't played in 8 years. That's the kind. That's a very typical stub your toe game, is going places like Jacksonville and Tennessee this year.
Speaking of Jacksonville, you got two rough stretches there. I think two games on the road going back to week 2 and 3 with the Rams and Seahawks. Let's go there for a second. Do you have them splitting those two games, winning both of those two games, or losing both of those two games?
I picked them to lose to Seattle. Now, I very easily could have picked them to lose at the Rams. Like I said, they're going to be coming off a Monday night game, so it's going to be short rest and long travel. I'm sure the Rams are going to be favored. I bet the Rams will be favored by more than 3 points. The Rams will probably be like 5-point favorites in that game. But I just couldn't do it. I couldn't pick them to lose to the Rams. You know how much emotion is going to be invested in that game. They're going to have to channel it in the right way. But I figure they'll be so exhausted by that time. If I'm giving them the 2-0 start, I can't give them a 3-0 start. If they manage to win that Monday night game at home to start the season and travel all the way to L.A. and win that game, I don't know how much they'll have left for Seattle in week 3. But in general, I like their chances to start 2-1, but I can't pick them to start that stretch 3-0. That's a lot to ask.
Another two-game road stretch in back-to-back weeks for the Saints at Jacksonville, at Chicago. Splitting there, winning both, or losing both?
I did the same thing. I picked the loss at Chicago, the win at Jacksonville. But I'll be honest with you, that's a perfect example of we try to dissect the schedule all the time. And when you predict these things, you do sometimes find yourself going chalk. But in real life, I bet it's a lot more likely that you go to Jacksonville and that's the week when you relax. You're playing at Jacksonville, a team that's not expected to be that good, but a place you haven't played in 8 years that doesn't have this incredible atmosphere. That could totally be one of those games where they just don't play their best game. They lose at Jacksonville and then they're up for the Chicago game. That's, in the 3:25 primetime slot against another top NFC contender. So I picked them to win at Jacksonville and lose at Chicago, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the exact opposite happen.
Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Saints, at Mike Triplett on Twitter. Mike, the draft next week,
Second
round. Oh, boy, we get to wait a little while. I'm not going to ask you to give me a name because obviously trying to project 62, but give me a position group you feel like might happen.
Well, look, that's a fair question, Christian, but I think the later you pick in the draft, the less important the position gets. I mean, They're going to put a grade on every player. They might have a quarterback who has a grade of 70, and they might have a cornerback who has a grade of 65, and they might have an offensive lineman who has a grade of 60. They're going to take the guy with the grade of 70. I mean, it will be completely based on player grade, especially when you're drafting that low. So picking a position is kind of futile, but one that I do think they need to address at some point during the draft or make a huge priority right afterward is the offensive line, because I think they've had one of the best offensive lines in football over the last couple of years, but they do need to replenish it for the future, especially after Max Unger retired, Anders Pete's a free agent after next year, Larry Warford's a free agent the year after that, Teron Armstead's been battling injuries. I think, Jermon Bushrod might not be back, so I think they've got a good, solid offensive line. But I think developing future offensive linemen should be a priority. But it really is almost impossible to guess. It'll be completely dependent on which guy has that highest grade on the board. And we both know they're going to probably trade up from that spot. Well, these guys can't sit on their hands for that long.
You really think they're moving up?
I don't think that's the prudent move. But if you lock Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis in a room and tell them they're not allowed to make a pick for 12 hours, You know, you better take their cell phones away to make sure they don't trade up.
Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Saints, at Mike Triplett on Twitter. Speaking of Mike, I'll do my best to try to keep you entertained on Twitter, man.
Hey, you're a must follow.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
Especially with the new look.
Yeah. Well, that's for my sis, man. Gotta support
I know.
Her.
I like it.
Thanks, man.
I like it, man. All right. Have a good one, bud.
All right, you too. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Panicked about LSU baseball? That's our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Nope, not yet. Getting there, or hell yeah, I'm freaking out. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. LSU losing game one of the SEC series with Florida last night, 16-9. If I can rail on something for a minute, and look, I'm very rarely critical of Paul Maneri. All right, but when I heard the decision that he's going to start Mikhail Hilliard yesterday, I immediately grimaced. Just because Mikhail Hilliard, I've said it before, when we were talking about the ineffectiveness of Zach Hess, and is he truly a Friday night guy, and we arrived at the conclusion that he probably isn't necessarily a Friday night guy, but who else would you go to? Who else would you make that Friday night starter? And we had a couple calls and texts and suggestions of Mikhail Hilliard. And we learned very quickly last night that he's not, and even going back to last weekend against Missouri when he had to make a sudden appearance after Zach Hess's injury, he's not a game one guy in a series. Unless he's following somebody like Zach Hess after several innings where they're getting 95, 94, and he comes in and starts firing 87, 88. That change in velocity has a big impact on his effectiveness. So when I heard that he was starting, and I get it, and I'm being critical of Paul Maneri, but I also understand he's working with limited arms. I mean, 7 pitchers this year for LSU have missed time due to injury. 4 position players have missed time this year due to injury. But when I heard that, I said, LSU might be in for a long night. Mikhail Hilliard is a fantastic pitcher out of the bullpen. And if he's going to start, he's got to start on Sunday when you've already pumped two guys that are starters on Friday and Saturday are games 1 and 2 that they come in pumping 93, 94, 95, and then you got to make that adjustment to 88, 80, 89. He's got great breaking stuff, but that fastball isn't devastating enough, and that curveball is less effective when that fastball has been something that they've been able to time up. So when I heard that yesterday, I was like, ugh, I don't like that at all. And that was kind of proven right just because he's effective as a Sunday guy. He's effective out of the bullpen, following a guy like Zach Hess or Cole Henry. It's not like Devin Fontenot. Devin Fontenot, who's their closer, which I think, I don't know his stamina, which I think that LSU could have gone there, started him for 4 innings, or maybe even Todd Peterson. Start him for 4-5 innings. I just didn't like the decision to go with Mikhail Hilliard because he's typically on Friday nights or opening games of series, especially against Florida, who's a pretty good hitting team. They're kind of juiced. They're ready to go. After game 3 or into game 3 of a series, after you've seen so many different pitchers, your adjustment at the plate, your approach at the plate is, it's hard to adjust from 95 to 87. That's what made Eric Walker so effective on Sundays before his Tommy John surgery, was that LSU had guys pumping 95, 94, and then the crafty lefty with Jared Poche changed the arm slot with Eric Walker and changed the velocity and location. That's what made him so effective. Same thing for Mikhail Hilliard. I certainly think he's a big part of this LSU pitching staff, but it's the wrong spot to start him. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is WWL. Man, what a time to be a pro football lover. Just think, Thursday kicks off Saints and NFL draft. As always, we'll bring you wall-to-wall coverage better than the networks. It starts at Thursday at 4 p.m. with the Saints Radio Draft Preview. Zach Strief, Deuce McAllister go deep with Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, and other Saints brass just hours before the draft begins. That, my friends, is Don't Miss Radio. Then at 6 o'clock, it's Game Time. Bobby Hebert, draft analyst Mike Dettillier, and yours truly to be joined by Zach Strief for wall-to-wall coverage as the draft unfolds. Friday, Saturday as well. And then our It's Just Sports edition of the post-draft, along with the undrafted rookie free agent class that every Saints fan just absolutely gloms onto. So we will have you covered the entire weekend, starting Thursday at 4 o'clock right here on the home of the Saints, WWL. Coming up next hour, Jeff Palermo, sports director, Louisiana Radio Network, also WWL contributor, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network as well. Charlie and Slidell, sit tight. I want to give you plenty of time before we go to the top of the hour, so I will lead off with you next hour as well. If you want to jump in the conversation, feel free. 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Panicked about LSU baseball? Nope, not yet. Getting there? Or hell yeah, I'm freaking out. Here till 6:30 as we hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network for Game 2 of the LSU baseball against the Florida Gators. The Tigers looking to even the series after getting spanked pretty good last night, 16-9. 7 o'clock first pitch at the box right here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.